J8. Number 2B.
All right, then we go on and just generally see that Christianity, oftentimes we like to call this Christianity, because not to get it confused with the denomination or the religion of Christianity, but this is Christianity. How then that Christ operation is fulfilled in every aspect of our life. So the outcome, Christianity is always, Mrs. Eddy says, Christianity is the outcome in our life experience of the operation of the Word and the Christ. Therefore, Christianity, again, is the realm of love. She'll show the realm where we live and move and have our being as pure reflection, where then we have that harmonious realm where man is the image and likeness of God, where it's all pure reflection. It would be the reflection of spirit. That is that realm of Christianity, the outcome. That's the fruition we get by letting the Word in Christ happen in our life. We then have the outcome of the realm of Christianity, the realm of pure reflection, the realm of pure idea, the realm of God good. And science says that that whole operation of the Word, Christ, and Christianity, that whole operation of input of the Word, the process of the Christ, the output of Christianity, that is all for the glory of God itself, for the self-interpretation of God. It's God explaining itself to the universe, including man. So science is shown as the self-explanation of being, the feedback, how that really input, process, output, that feedback is always God explaining itself to itself. It's a closed system. For the glory of itself. It is that whole operation of God, that self-operation is going on for the glory of God. Not for the glory of the physical realm, or not for the glory of the moral realm, but for the glory of the realm of the third degree, of the spiritual, for the glory of God itself. And it's going to bring out its plan. As we saw earlier, the rules and laws and their demonstration, it's going to bring out its plan whether we like it or not. Paul says, I'm in the bonds of Christ. There's nothing I can do about it. And Jesus, through the humility of the Christ consciousness, as we know now, just kept saying, it's not my will, but thine be done. Then, in summary, the last category of the divine system of reference, category 3, which gives us the multidimensional operation of God, that John Dorley and his early workers began to see that nature of God, which is operating as the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, operates dimensionally on many different levels of awareness and consciousness. And the level of science itself, when she's talking about the highest level that God operates, that she would always talk about in the textbook as the level of science itself. From the infinite one, huh? That's that top level, from the infinite one. That's where God is operating at its peak. That's a realm, the science realm, whenever she's referring to that, it's a realm of God itself, the realm of total purity, where error, evil, disease, sickness is unknown. It is not even considered. You know, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. There is a realm of consciousness where error never enters in, period. Because with a consciousness filled with the allness of God and its ideas, against such a consciousness there is no law. Nothing can enter into a consciousness that is just filled with purity. So the science level is just symbolizes that there is a pure state of consciousness, that God is moving us towards the highest state of ultimate consciousness where we'll be aware of only good, period. Error is unknown. Evil is unknown. Matter is unknown. Then the next state of consciousness she talks about is divine science. That is divine science. You already see it says, here's science itself. Now these other three levels are just telling you what goes on in the realm of science in order to heal any false beliefs about the universe, including man. And therefore already that science has a divine aspect. You see, there is science, There are four levels of science. So divine science is that next level that lets us see what's going on within the realm of science itself. And then absolute Christian science lets us see a little bit more what's going on within the realm of science itself. And Christian science lets us see a little bit more what's going on within the realm of science itself. Ms. Zetti says that these levels of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, and these are just symbols. The symbols could change. We don't always have to use this terminology, but it's how she used it in her age. But these, we could change the symbols and they could mean the same thing. That within the realm of science, these three levels, God is showing to the human what is going on within its being in order to solve human problems. So that level of science has a divine aspect. And on the divine science level, the universe is under consideration. That's where that principle God presents itself as idea, as the universe. So when we're talking about principle and its idea, principle and its spiritual universe, we're talking about divine science. And when we talk about that universe as being the universe of God only, that's all divine science. Even on the level of divine science, error is excluded. It doesn't come in. It's a level of oneness where principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle. So there's a state of consciousness which talks about subject and object. But those subjects and object are one. On the level of science level, we only have the subjective I am that I am under consideration. The object is included within the subject in the statement of the I am that I am. But on divine science, it lets you talk about a subject and object, but it says the subject and object are one. God and man, or God in the universe, God in its idea is one. And what is this one? Mrs. Eddy says on page 465, and this one is God. So Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, which is idea, you've seen the principle. There's only oneness, and in the realm of oneness, there's no error. So divine science, she says, there's a level of consciousness where you can have subject and object, but it's not duality. The subject and object are one and the same thing. It's that level of oneness. And from this pure standpoint, the level of absolute Christian science says, yes, there is subject and object, but it lets you talk about the infinite individualities within God, that realm of idea, which we could call the ideal man, the individualities, the specifics. On divine science, you're concerned with God and its universe. On absolute Christian science, you're concerned about God and the universe, including all the individual man. So absolute Christian science lets you talk about all the individual ideas, the calculus of ideas, how God appears, that one infinite individuality appears as many individualities. It has many different aspects of itself, yet still remains the one God. Then we're talking on absolute Christian science. These are just symbols. You see how Mrs. Eddy said teachings, spiritual teachings will always be through symbols. It's through symbols we get a hold of reality. And then on Christian science, it shows how that calculus of ideas heals the calculus of false beliefs. It heals the calculus of mortal man and its erroneous things, because what is real replaces what is false. So the level of Christian science always shows how the impact of God has its impact on healing. So Christian science is always talking about healing. So that, again, is just a general summary to give you an insight into what we call the divine system of reference. Now, I said I would show to you a little more of this whole operation of the Christ, which I'd like to do because it's that Christ operation, that self-operation within being, that is very important for us to understand. Again, just sitting back and enjoying the spirit of the subject and not being concerned about the details, I'm going to focus on the operation of the Christ. Now, as we saw, the Word is that which declares what God is to the universe. But the Christ has that operation, that office of operating God, the self-operation of God. So therefore, as we've seen, that the Christ therefore appears as the Savior, the problem solver. It's the Christ that solves our problems. And the Christ is not a person, Jesus, to repeat. That is so strong in old theology that Jesus and the Christ are the same. And when you really get into old theology, they say that Jesus is God appearing on earth. And they can't differentiate between Jesus, who is just as we are, he called his brethren, that which I shall do, you shall do. I go into my Father, here is my cup, drink ye all of it. I am the way, I'm a way sure. I am the prototype man of what you are going to be yourself. You can put on the Christ consciousness in whatever our name is. Whether it's Sally, we can say it's Christ Sally, or Fred, it's Christ Fred. We can put on the same Christ consciousness. The Christ is an office. So therefore, the Christ is the Savior or the problem solver. It is that which is solving our problems and the world's problems through its method of operation. According to the laws of the Christ, according to laws, these are impersonal laws. The Christ is a law in being. The law of translation and retranslation, as we'll see. So if you can get used to thinking that of God and these operations of word, Christ, Christianity, and science in terms of laws and not thinking anymore in terms of people, we will get along easier in a science. So on page 115 in the chapter Science, Theology, and Medicine in the textbook Science and Health, according to Mrs. Eddy's symbolism, and we have to go, John Dorley and his students had to go into the textbook in those early days and figure out what Mrs. Eddy gave us as just blank statements, blank symbolisms. And she says, I took it and I hid it, and if I hide it anymore, it's going to be lost. So she took this teaching and just gave us the bare bones of it, and one has to go in. She says it was written through inspiration, her textbook, and it needs inspiration to be understood. So with their scientific method of text analysis, they went in and they could see that on page 115 and page 116 in the textbook, Mrs. Eddy defines the operation of the Christ. Now, she does it through the two offices of the Christ which I mentioned. First of all, that the Christ takes the whole and reduces it down to parts, where the one becomes the many, where the infinite individuality becomes the infinite individualities. And so how that one becomes the many, she shows through the symbol of the scientific translation. It's a translation that's going on. The one is becoming the many. The one is translating to become a many. Aspects of the one. So we have a scientific translation of immortal mind. That's the office of the Christ to present now, as I said, the one to the many. And all the symbolism under that is all the symbolism we need in a science in order to explain how the one becomes the many. In an introductory class, it's too much to go into everything. I'll do the best I can to give you a general spirit of it, but don't be concerned if we let a lot of details pass us by. Now, therefore, we can see that God, Mrs. Eddy here shows, all right, God is going to translate itself as man, which is idea. The one is going to become the many man, which is just idea. How does it do it? It does it through the law of translation. And she set up that law through the use of the synonymous terms, through these divine synonyms, through the law of translation, which is shown through God appearing as principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. That is a different order to the synonymous terms than we saw, isn't it? She said, what is God? And when she defined God as being mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, that order on page 465 defines what God is. That was the purpose of definition, to give us the nature of God. But when she wants to show us the nature of God in the office of the Christ, God is defined in a different way. And the synonyms take on a different order. See, it's a science. So she says, God now appears in the order of principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. That's the way those symbols take on that order to give us the law, how principle God appears as an individual idea in mind through the law of translation. And the goal then is how principle reduces itself through this law of translation set up through the synonyms, so that principle God appears as man, as God's spiritual idea. How principle God appears as individual. How that whole appears as an individual situation. And what is that individual situation? It's idea. That principle appears in an individual situation called idea. You can call it man if you like, but man is always tied up with the mortal, with the human, with the physical nature. So as we come into the third degree of spiritual, we kind of drop the term man and use idea instead of man, saying that God appears as idea. If you like, say man. That God can present itself as individual idea, which exists as an image in mind. And that is man. That's one office of the Christ, to take God and to make it appear as an individual idea called man in the universe. That Christ is going on constantly, not only in making its nature appear as the many, but it's also that operation that brings us to us the right idea which solves our difficulties. The same operation brings that idea that principle has in view for us, and it brings that idea, the perfect solution to our problem, right down to our specific situation. That idea that is going to help us comes to us. And with the mind of Christ, we get that idea. And when that idea comes to us and we understand it, because idea is the immediate object of understanding, what does that do in our life? When we're open and clear and that idea comes to us to solve our problem from God, it does something. It causes us to go through a retranslation. That's the office of the second office of the Christ in the law of translation and reformation. It reforms us. It changes us. So, principle God has in view with this subject we're taking today, the ideal standard of theocracy. Government under the immediate direction of the laws of God. And God is bringing its standard of true government to the world through the Christ. It brings the true idea of true government to the world, and it is making the world go from the first degree of the physical nature behind politics and autocratic rulers. And making it go from the first degree of the physical animal control of the universe through autocracy or despotic government. And it is making the universe respond to the next level of the second degree, which Mrs. Eddy called the moral. Which would be then those characteristics of humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, all those qualities that the world leader says we need morality. That's what she showed as the second degree. The Christ is taking us from the physical nature, autocracy, into the second degree, the moral. And that's what they're asking for. And when we have more a moral nature, then we're going to have a democracy. It changes from autocracy to government by people. But people who have humanity, people who have honesty, people who have affection, people who agree to disagree in this harmony. Do you see? It's something that is happening to the world through the Christ retranslation. It isn't the world leaders are so clever that they all got together at some conference and decided, let's move now from autocracy to democracy. They were so overwhelmed that even President President Bush, you remember, in the late, in December of 89, they couldn't catch their breath. It was happening so fast. We got a glimpse of how world leaders were not in charge. They were overwhelmed at what was happening to them. If they were in charge, they would have said, well, now this is what happens tomorrow. They were running so fast to keep up with this retranslation of the Christ, they just couldn't believe. You just go back to their many, many statements in the paper on how overwhelmed and amazed and suddenly this all happened. Well, what do you mean suddenly this all happened? Where is it coming from? You see? So if one just stops to say, for a moment, who's pushing? You know, somebody pushes us into the lake, we just go into the lake happily. Don't we look around and say, who gave us the push? But often the world just, oh, well, I'm pushed. So it responds instead of asking, who pushed? So who's doing this change? It's not the leaders. They themselves, they aren't taking any credit for it. Vaclav Havel was one day in prison and the next day president of Czechoslovakia. He had no time to get together with world leaders and decide to go from autocracy into democracy. So it is something then that is happening to the world by the Christ idea through its retranslation. See, it's a scientific translation of mortal mind, what we call the second translation or the law of reformation, taking us from the physical into the moral. We have to go through it. Mrs. Eddy called that a transitional stage. It's evil beliefs disappearing. The only danger of in this whole trip that the Christ is taking us on is if we want to stay in the moral and to build our houses on the moral and our homes on the moral and the universe on the moral and the earth on the moral and our families on the moral, to stay in the human. That is the greatest danger, to be happy at this stage. The problem is it's transitional. It's taking us from here to there. It's taking us out of the first degree of the physical. And the goal is not the human or the moral, which is sometimes half physical and half spiritual. The goal isn't the schizophrenic state of the human, where we agree to disagree, but there is conflict, but at least we're trying to agree to disagree. The goal that the Christ is taking us to is the third degree of the spiritual, as we see on page 116 in Science and Health, the realm of reality. That's where we're going. Now, our problems come when we want to have the perfect human family, the perfect human democracy, the perfect human this, the perfect. It won't happen. There's going to be a breakdown in democracy. There's going to be a breakdown even in this moral realm. It's not the answer. Government by people is still a problem. People are governing, as we'll see as we go on. And when people govern, who says all the majority is always right? Hopefully, in a democracy, the majority will act with morals. And that with a majority, you'll get the greatest morality. But what about the minority? The minority might be right and the majority wrong. A democracy isn't the solution. It's not right when you have mob rule. Hopefully it will be all right, but it may not be. So we will go on to see that the democracy is not the highest. Plato didn't even have it the highest. He had democracy way down on the list, as we will consider. So, therefore, the goal is theocracy, government by God, not people. Government in the third degree of the spiritual, where man is taken from its physical nature through the human nature. We must go through the second degree. We must go through that human nature. That's important. But we're going to be taken from that human nature finally into the third degree of the spiritual. So if we keep that in mind, there was a member of parliament, many, many years ago, wrote an article called Servants of the Spirit and Not Prisoners of Organization. And he talked about this transition. He says, don't build houses on it. He says, tents maybe, but houses no. meaning it's moving us on. So if we take the human or the second degree, which we must all move through, it's fine. And we move through it gracefully in an ordered way, but please always remember that the goal is spiritual, that man is being brought out to be the Son of God, to be the image and likeness of God, to be mind idea, spirit idea, soul idea, principle idea, life idea, truth idea, love idea. And in that realm of the third degree, its government is self-government. And when, and Mrs. Eddy shows that when man is governed by God, he is self-governed. So we'll move into a whole nother realm of government. Therefore, of the Christ, that's why what you see in the Bible and so forth, we will see, therefore, that how the Christ is the Savior, a problem solver, and how it's Christ's government. The government is on the shoulders of the operation of the Christ and its law of translation and retranslation. That's why the Bible in Isaiah will say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." Putting the government on the shoulders of the operation of the Christ, those laws of translation and retranslation. We already are getting a wonderful glimpse of it today. Then in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy talks about Christ's government. Christ, God's idea, will eventually rule all nations and peoples imperatively, absolutely, finally, and with divine science.